I'm not going to mention names, at least I try not to, but I certainly want to thank those who have labored with us this weekend. Many of you invited friends and other individuals that you've acquainted with and to come to the Wild Game Dinner. Certainly there was a lot of service that had gone on in that, and preparing dishes and set up, and it was done excellently, and I thank each of you that were involved. We were really blessed. We got hung up here for a while last night, and they were mingling around, the men were, and young guys looking at the mounts, and I kept thinking, we got to get down to that gym, we got to take care of those tables, chairs, clean up and all that, but when we left here and headed down, the ladies had already done that for us, and not that they hadn't done a lot previous to that, but thanks, ladies. Really, really appreciate that. We had a good night. Outstanding speaker. Mike Tyson came and shared. Excellent storyteller, and he told some stories. And I don't know that all of you got that humor that he had, but I was cracking up in the front row. But he blended that so well with some great truths that we needed. And so I thank God for that. And so although all of you who have prayed, invited, served, gave us outstanding food and been a part, we give praise to God for that. I think it was our 15th Wild Game Dinner. And, you know, only heaven's going to reveal much of what God has done through those. We had some men that said they had placed their faith in Christ last night. I know of a couple. So that's what it's all about. You know, we make an appeal, we sow seed, but it was a great night. And, you know, we had the parking lot, believe it or not, this last cold shot was a great blessing to us. How many of you believe that? Yeah. What it did was it allowed us to clear the parking lot, clear out. Previous to that, with all that beautiful sunshine, when the robins were singing and stuff, that was very muddy on the, you get past the asphalt there. It was very muddy, and we couldn't have gotten onto that, which, we were glad we were able to, because it allowed us the parking. So God's at work in many ways, right? Sometimes you don't understand everything. You think this or that. But God was so gracious to us. And I believe He will do the same this morning as we look into His Word and hopefully are encouraged by it, challenged by it, and allow His Spirit through His Word to do His work in our life. So someone asked me, are you comfortable? Are you going to leave that up for today, Sunday? They asked me last night, are you comfortable up there? I'm like, yeah, this is really nice. I thought about wearing a camouflage outfit, have my archery gear up here, but thought that might be a huge distraction. But anyway, thanks to each of you. We praise God for you. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that is ours. We thank you for the opportunity that we had last night to hear your word, to fellowship, to have a great meal, to see people serve and love on each other and invest in other people's lives. We give you praise for that. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this great ministry of reconciliation, where we are ministers of a new covenant. We've been called to bring this reconciling message of the gospel of grace to the world, to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends. Thank you for that privilege. Father, it goes fast. Life shoots by us very quickly. But yet I pray that we would understand what a great joy and a great opportunity is ours through you. So let us take advantage of that, Father. As we gather today, there are many issues in our lives and in the lives of those who have gathered here and some that cannot be here. We think of those that are hurting. And we just lift them before you. I especially lift up Barb Ives today and pray that you'll touch her mind, touch her body. Bless Roger, Pastor Baker, Dorothy. There are many others, Mark and others that are struggling with health, Father. And we submit these ones to you and ask that you'll bless, that you'll heal, that you'll do your bidding there and bless those that are a part of their lives and encouragement to them and care for them. And Father, I've just mentioned a few. There are many others. But as we stand before you now, our greatest need is on the spiritual side. It really is, because that's what all of life flows from. So I pray that you'd minister to our hearts now. Use me, as I proclaim, and the listener, as they would take in your word, help them and myself to respond to your great word as we need to. Bless those churches that are now proclaiming throughout this land your word. And I pray for those ministers and those congregations that they'd be looking to you, Father. We're in a nation that needs to see the light of Christ shown through those who know Him. And you've placed all of us in different areas for that. Help us to be faithful in that, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians, I want to read verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. In working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. I believe we fail to let others know how much we appreciate them and their service to the Lord. I think that's just common. We take for granted those who are close to us, those who have been a part of our lives. We just take for granted they'll always be there. That's not always the case, though, is it? And there's a point in time when people move on or pass on or are no longer able to do what they once did, and that ministry to us is gone, perhaps forgotten. I don't think the church at Corinth, I don't think this body of believers realized what they had in the Apostle Paul. I don't think they understand that he was a gift from God to them. And what a blessing from God is one who brought the gospel, ministered to their hearts, and led many of them to faith in Christ. He was the steadfast servant of Christ. He exhibited endurance through the harshest of conditions right up to his homegoing. He set an amazing example for us. My heart is encouraged by folks like that. When I see those who have loved the Lord for a long time and just carry on, as I see other ministers that stick with it through thick and thin, as I see those who are in the pews who just hold to Christ and long to influence their community and families for Him, when I see them just endure and are steadfast, that does a lot for me. I think it probably does for all of us. And we see individuals like this, it's not just their message, but it's that they're saying, you know, He's worth living and dying for, and they carry that on right through till the Lord takes them home with this steadfast endurance. That's a beautiful thing. It's somewhere that we all should strive to get to. I want you to know, as ambassadors for Christ, though, this reconciling message, and we really talked about that a week ago, we've been given the message of reconciliation. But if we carry that message, and we do, we're in a fierce spiritual battle. That's what it is. That one in which we must remain steadfast as we endure the constant pressure of living for Christ. My grandmother used to say, growing old isn't for wimps. I love that. The older I get, the more I realize it's true. Many have said to me the same thing. But you know, serving Christ isn't for wimps either. And we need to look to Him, draw our courage and the grace from Him that we need to carry out what it is He's called us to. It's a battle, though, friends. Let's not forget that. And it's a battle worth waging. It's a battle worth doing. And some of us, I think, at times, we're kind of thrown back a little bit or taken off our feet just a little bit when we realize the fierceness of that. We might think, well, I thought being a Christian ought to be a whole lot easier than this. Why doesn't everybody love me or speak well of me and so forth? But there's a difficulty we face. In this text, there are three truths that really bring this out. One is our labor. One is our message, one is our battle. And I want to begin here in chapter 6, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians, just with our labor. Paul says here, working together with Him. He's just finished out this amazing verse about God the Father who's made the Son to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And we're ambassadors for Christ. He's moving from this whole thought. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And he says this, working together with Him. We also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Our labor is with Him. We don't do this alone. It's not in our power or ability. It's not that at all. He's working in us and through us. This isn't our ministry. It's not my ministry. It's not my life. It's His life. God has designed this ministry of reconciliation that we would work together with Him. No lone rangers here. And it is with Him. If you look back at the 5th chapter, verse 20, Paul makes that very clear. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. Through us. Our labor is through Him. It is with Him. The ministry He calls us to as ambassadors in reconciliation. It's through Him. And it's serious stuff. It's really serious stuff. There's souls in the balance. People that we have in our lives that need to hear, need to know. They need to make a decision for Christ. We serve our Savior who has been granted all power, and He energizes us and gives us the help we need to carry on this ministry. As we yield to Him, He gives us just what we need. Let's remember that. It's a labor. It's hard. It's joyful. It's good. But it's with Him. And it's sacred. Notice the text as well. I'll read on here. We also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for He says, at acceptable time I listened to you on the day of salvation. I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's with Him. It's sacred. He says, I urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't receive it in vain. The purpose of God saving an individual from the wages of sin is that we might be used as an instrument of His in this great work of reconciliation, to bring people to Christ, to live for His glory, to serve in the local church, to serve each other, to love on one another. We serve our Savior. He's granted us what we need. And we have been given this ministry. And it's not, you know, as we have come to Christ in by faith, and it's through grace, or it is that, you know, this is something that we need to think is a big deal. Because it is. There are those, you know, and we ought not to ever take grace for granted and live like the world. But there are believers that do that. They live for themselves and what they want and what they can accomplish. We learned earlier that we are fragrance of Christ. We give off something to the world. And, you know, there's nothing more off-putting than a believer who's really living a double life. That is just, it's hard. And it doesn't do the work of Christ any good. I mentioned we're a fragrance. There's a smell up here because of these mounts. It's a smell I love, by the way. But I heard this morning someone said, it stinks up here. I said, what are you talking about? That fragrance, they don't make that stuff anywhere. You know, you can't buy that. But there's something coming out of here, see? And it's the same in our lives. There's something that comes out of us. And if we think, you know, God just saved me to kind of put me on a bench and I'm good for heaven, you're missing it. God's grace says, you know, He's loved us in an amazing way. Paul said earlier in chapter 5 that the love of Christ compels us. Look at verse 14. The love of Christ compels or controls us. Because of Christ's love for Paul, it moved him. And we ought not to just take grace lightly. It's a beautiful gift. It's sacred. So how are you doing with what God has entrusted you with? What's your fragrance? What do you sound like? What are your words? What's important to you? It ought to, you know, we ought to have our minds on one thing. God has planted me here to make a difference in this world. with those He's placed in my life. And I want to shine for His glory. I want them to know there's a God who loves them to the extent that He would give His the very best He had, His one and only Son. That's our labor. Have you joined in that labor? Are you ministering for Christ? Are you serving? It goes by fast. Life just flies by. I hope you're taking time to pray, to study His Word, to invest in others. That's our labor. Here's our message. Look at verse 2. For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What a blessing to be in Christ, take this message to the world. And what He's saying here, this quote out of Isaiah, He's saying right here, right now, folks, is time to make a decision for Christ. The apostle's saying there's an urgency to the gospel. Why? Well, because none of us know what we have in the next hour. That's it. That's it. I was talking to my dad earlier this week. He said, got some bad news about an individual from our hometown, guy just a little older than I. The Lord called him home, just like that. I think the Lord called him home. I know he met with eternity. I believe he's a believer. Did he know that was coming? No. Heart attack, boom, over he goes. Just like that. None of you have the rest of the service. None of you have the rest of today. We're not guaranteed that. So, you know, if you're thinking about, I kind of get that gospel thing. I know at some point I really need to get serious about a decision to trust Christ as my Savior. To delay is dangerous. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. It's today. It's now. So if you know you need to trust Christ, I encourage you right where you're at, right in your pew. Cry out to God. He'll save you right here, right now. So that's our message. It's a message of reconciliation to God. But to delay is dangerous, and to discredit it is devastating. Follow on with me here. It says, today's acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Verse 3, giving no cause of offense in anything. Why? So that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God. See, He's saying, don't delay in that. He's encouraging those believers and saying, you know what, today, make a decision to trust Christ. And He says further, to discredit is devastating. There are those who name the name of Christ and walk in such a way that, you know, I really would prefer, I'll tell you from my viewpoint, is they not tell anyone that they're a Christian. That's going on. There's great hypocrisy. It's just, it happens. It's there. And it doesn't help the ministry of Christ. I used to go to a Christian website and I would read what was going on there. You know, I just quit going there. You know why? Every week, sometimes every day, there's a message there. There's an article about a pastor who got caught up in doing this or that, discredited his ministry, he's gone. It just kept coming day after. I'm like, I don't even want to read this anymore. Friends, I've worked with individuals through the years, grew up on a Christmas tree farm, worked with men from all kinds of backgrounds. And I will tell you that there are some individuals who claim the name of Christ, I believe, are born again, and yet their lives are an absolute mess. And it does not help the gospel at all. We can't pursue Christ too hard. We can't pursue holiness too great. We need to be careful here. Let's not be living a double standard and so forth. And, you know, our lives need to be something that draws others to Christ, that puts out a fragrance that says, I want some of that. I want some of that. So we need to check ourselves here. So that's our message. Our message is urgent. It's today. Today's the day of salvation. Great evangelist Dwight L. Moody one time preached on a Sunday night. I believe it was a Sunday night. He concluded by leaving his crowd with, next week at this time we will meet. And you will have time to think about what you will do with Christ. But you know that next week never occurred. That's when the Chicago fires broke out. Moody never got that audience back again. He learned something from that moment. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Here's our battle. Okay. I want you to notice something. You know, we didn't read that, but verse 11, look there for a minute before we get into these next 26 things that Paul says have been his experience. Verse 11, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. To me, this is like the apostles just, he's saying, you know, what I just shared with you, that's really my heart. This is what it's like. This is my life. Not hiding anything from you. I'm putting it out there. I actually don't know a believer that is, other than the apostle, that could say this has been my experience as I've served the Lord. But God has placed it before us. God has not forgotten about the apostle Paul as he wrote through the Spirit. He recorded it for all of us. He knows all of our struggles. As servants of God, I mentioned that we are in a spiritual battle. That's exactly what we're engaged in. There are 26 things that Paul experienced as a servant of the Lord. I think 28 in the original. And so we're just going to lay them out before you, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each. We could talk about each for a long time. But he begins there in verse 4, the last part of the second half of that verse. He mentions in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses. Our battle is before us. And we see it when courage is called for. And I believe that's exactly what's called for in these next few things. He begins with endurance here. Some translations say patience. I believe this was key for the apostle as he was steadfast with the Lord. Paul endured. This word has the idea of being under under a heavy load, under hardship, having to bear up. In James 1, 2 through 3, there's a good word for us here to help us. It may be, I'll tell you what, you won't serve the Lord without hardship. You won't serve the Lord without pressure. You won't serve the Lord, if you're going to serve Him as you should, without a heavy load at times. James has a good word for us here. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you endure various trials. It's not always probably not at all the first way we respond by saying, yes, thanks God, I need this. You're going to grow me. You're going to help me. God knows what we need when we need it. The Apostle James said, count it all joy when you endure various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. That's how you grow. Endurance. That's how you become a soldier fit for battle. Is that God brings these things to us and we need to grow, and we do in endurance. Paul said, and this really, I think everything else flows out of it, in much endurance. He was a man that had much endurance. And he talks about afflictions here. That's in verse 4 as well, in afflictions. And that refers to pressures from evil, afflictions that come in distress. That was what he experienced. He also experienced hardships. It's more of a general word referring to the difficulties that come as a result of living in a fallen world. How many of you have ever experienced hardships in a fallen world? That's our lot, isn't it? I mean, here we are, and there are difficulties, there are hardships that come to us. We have loved ones that die, loved ones that are hurting. We have relationships that we've suffered in them. We live in a sin-tainted, fallen world. It's a hard place to live. Let's not be thinking of something else. This is just what it is. There are hardships. There's great joy as well. Wonderful things happen, but there's hardships that come. Each of you could tell a story. Hardships that have come. There's distresses has the idea of extreme pressure. It pictures a narrow space in which there is no escape. I think of trying to do is that a CAT scan where they run you in the tube? MRI. There's a lot of things I've done in my life. You know, I couldn't do one of them. That was extreme pressure to me. Get me out of here. Yeah, it's a narrow space in which there's no escape. No escape. It's just that pressure you feel. That's living the Christian life, by the way. I will tell you, that's ministry. That's the reality of it. And that's okay. Christ is able. It takes us right through it. So Also, you see in these verse 5 as we roll along, it's a battle when levied by others. Notice verse 5, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger. It's laid right out there, beatings. The apostle Paul knew what that was like. Turn to the 11th chapter. I just want you to see verse 23 and 24 here. 11th chapter, verse 23 and 24. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. And then he begins to lay out some of his experiences again. Far more labors and far more imprisonments. Beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. There's beatings. Paul knew what those were. Those aren't the only ones. There's more than that that he's listed in the scriptures that speak to that. But this is blows from fists or whips. Could be a rod. That's what that was. Paul's saying, I'm just telling you. He says, I'm giving you my heart. I want you to know I love you guys. I want you to know I'm an apostle, and I meet the requirements for that. I have every reason and right to minister to you. Paul's saying, let me tell you a little bit about that. I might not have letters of commendation, but let me tell you, I have some scars on my body that will testify that I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I know Him. Beatings. Now, imprisonments. Paul was imprisoned multiple times in his life. On and on it went. Tumults or tumultuous, riots and disturbances. That to me would be terrifying. You know, to get in it's one thing when you've got someone coming against you or a number of individuals, but when a riot is going on, there's people all around you, every angle, you don't know what's, that's just terrifying to me. Acts 21, we could go to a number of these. He was in a lot of them because he served Christ. Acts 21, 30 to 32. Then all the city was provoked and the people rushed together taking hold of Paul. He got a gang of people there. And they dragged him out of the temple and immediately the doors were shut while they were seeking to kill him. Seeking to kill him. A report came to the commander of the Roman cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. At once he took along some soldiers, centurions, ran down to them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. He experienced that. He also experienced what it was to be physically taxed. You'll notice that in verse 5 as well. In labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. There are things that came to him levied from others. There are also things that came to him just as he served the Lord and made that decision to serve Christ. Paul's zeal for serving Jesus left him physically taxed to the point of being exhausted and hungry. Again, if you're going to serve Christ, there are times you're going to be exhausted. There are just times like that. You're going to be tired. We left here last night. We were pretty tired. I did really well till I sat down in Sunday school. Not that the teacher was boring at all, but I stopped moving and I thought, I got to get moving here. I got to get up and say something to these people. You know? We were exhausted. We were tired. This is a good tired. If you serve Christ, there's going to be labors. That refers to hard work to the point of exhaustion. That's what that word means. Sleeplessness. It came as Paul constantly ministered to others. And that will be our lot at times. The older I get, the more I sometimes wake up at night thinking about, what about that? Lord, take that. Use this. Work in that way. That's just part of it. Hunger. You know, Paul and traveling. If you traveled with Paul in that day, you didn't just go around a corner and, oh, there's a McDonald's or a Burger King. That's not it at all. You know, sometimes you're wondering, where are we going to get our next meal? He struggled with that at times. He went to bed hungry. He just did. So he's physically taxed. Paul did that, though, gladly. Why would he do that? Why would that be the case? It's right here for us, Acts 20, 24. I don't consider my life on any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. He lived his life for Christ. Whatever it costs, whatever it took, his love for Jesus impelled him to live for the glory of the Lord. He mentioned this as well in 2 Timothy 2:10. For this reason, I endure all things. Why? Why, Paul? Why? For the sake of those who are chosen, for my brothers and sisters. First of all, my life is for the Lord. I do it for His glory. But on this level, it's for my brothers and sisters, so that they may also obtain the salvation, which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. That's why he did that. He loved people. He loved people. He loved those that Christ loved, and he loved his master. So he is physically taxed. I hope you've been tired for the Lord lately a bit. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We do battle here when controlled by the Spirit. He mentioned that in verses 6 and 7. In purity, in knowledge, purity here, Paul pursued this with his own heart and counseled others the same way. You know, we need to pursue holiness. He told Timothy, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Have you been stepping over the line lately, brother, sister? You been watching something you shouldn't? Talking to somebody the way you shouldn't? Are you involved in something with your body like you shouldn't be? We need to show ourselves an example. We need to pursue purity. Knowledge, he understood, Apostle did, he understood and proclaimed and lived the Word of God. His Scriptures were that. It wasn't just a head knowledge. It came to his heart. He lived it out. In patience, Paul put up with and tolerated much with and from others. The fact that he's writing this book, 2 Corinthians, tells you something. He loves people. He's a patient man. Unbelievable what he's putting up with. In kindness, he was genuinely kind. I have that on the overhead. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. Wow. That's a good thing, isn't it? Would life change in the body of Christ and in this world if we kept to this? Tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Do you have a forgiving spirit? I hope you do. Are you kind, genuinely kind? Paul says in kindness, we did that. We're controlled by the Spirit. That came out of us. In the Holy Spirit, he was led, filled with, and empowered by the Spirit. In genuine love, this describes a non-hypocritical, agape, self-sacrificing love toward others. That was Paul. That was the apostle. You've been around people like that. Isn't it beautiful? Some of you know some solid Christians, and you walk away from them, and you said, wow, do they love the Lord, and do they love people? They cared about me. We need to be those kind of people. Genuine love. Oh, that has to be what the church is. In the Word of Truth, the Bible was Paul's roadmap for the gospel and his message. In the power of God, he proclaimed Christ by the power of God. There's no other way, to understand Paul's life than that God was giving the grace, the strength to carry on. He'll do the same for us, by the way. Then in righteousness, Paul, as an ambassador for Christ, used the Word of Truth, the one weapon to engage the enemy in this great battle. He finishes with, you guys ready to be done yet? These are a little weighty, aren't they? Okay, we're just going to finish up with these paradoxes. I didn't hear you were ready to be done with yet, by the way. Nobody said anything. So I'm going. These paradoxes, let's just finish this. He says, by glory and dishonor, verse 8, there were those who praised Paul. There were those who spoke evil of him and maligned him. If you've served Christ for very long, there's an old saying, isn't there? The guy that isn't doing anything isn't what? Making any mistakes. Listen, if you're going to serve Christ, there will be those that pat you on the back, and I hope there are many, many that do that. But there will be oftentimes somebody who misunderstands or is not right where they need to be, who may say something that's not so good. So what do Christians do sometimes? All right, that's the way it's going to be. I give up. You know, we wouldn't be reading this today if that's where the apostle's heart was. We wouldn't have a Savior if that's where Jesus' heart was. To say, you know, somebody's going to, so-and-so said this, I'm done. Serving Christ isn't for wimps. Growing old isn't for wimps, and neither is serving Christ. By glory and dishonor, by evil report, good report, those were both Paul's. said of him that we looked at as deceivers and yet true. This was the case for Paul. This was also the case for our Lord. John 17:12, there was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him, concerning Christ. Some were saying, he's a good man. Others were saying, no. On the contrary, he leads the people astray. It was said of our Lord. I think at times it'll be said of us. Dying, yet we live. This is Paul's life. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was a dying man, but being upheld by the grace and power of his resurrected Christ. He had many death threats and attempts, and yet he kept plugging along. He really lived. He was seen as punished, yet not dead. Beatings, stoned, left for dead. He was punished and yet very much alive. He bore the scars of Christ. Sorrowful, but always rejoicing. Well, what a contrast. Same verse. How many of you ever had that in an hour, in a moment in time? Great sorrow, great joy. Paul said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's his attitude. I mentioned, I think, a week ago or two, we went to a funeral. So we were at a funeral. My uncle's funeral, there's great sorrow there. Same point in time, my niece was giving birth to a son. Same moment in time, my brother-in-law was going through a life-threatening surgery. All in a moment of time, sorrow, joy. They're all there. You guys have all, you've all been there. Paul says we're sorrowful, yet rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Paul didn't. You know, when he decided that this is the path that God has laid before me, I'm going to take it. As a Pharisee, he could have had a lot. He left that and he moved in a different direction. Our speaker last night, Mike Tyson, it was interesting to talk to him about how he got in the ministry he's doing. He left the corporate world making a lot of money. Making a lot of money. And now he's rich. Not monetarily. He gave up a lot of his income to do what he's doing. But he's rich in what he has stored up in heaven. Paul says, poor yet making many rich. He made others rich by his teaching. Paul did his preaching, his care, his love. They became believers, followers of Christ, an inheritance in heaven. Paul says, having nothing but having it all. He did have it all. His citizen was there in heaven. Philippians 3:20. If you know Christ, this is your citizenship. Matter of fact, it's your inheritance as well. Our citizenship is in heaven. Okay? Whatever your address is here, that's temporary. That's putting down tent stakes. That's all that is. Your citizenship, if you're in Christ, is in heaven. Not only that, the Spirit, it's Romans 8:16-17. Listen to what is ours. And this is just touches it. The Spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also. Heirs of God. Heirs of God. Heirs of who? Of God. What does he own? Last I checked, he owned it all, doesn't he? Heirs of God. Fellow heirs with Christ. I could weep over that. Do you get that? What is Christ is ours. That's our inheritance. And Peter says, it's kept by the power of God. I think it's 1:3. 1 Peter, I know it's 1 Peter 1. I think it's 3. That's ours. I hope you're rich in Christ. I hope you know Him. Hope you haven't given up. Hope you haven't given into the pressure that comes for serving the Lord. He is worth it. When we see Him one day, oh, I think we'll say, oh, I should have given a little more. But we're going to say this is good. He's worth it. I'll finish you with one thought. Here we are. This is ought to be our hearts. This is my prayer for you. May we steadfastly endure all things for His great name. All things for His great name. Let's be steadfast and endure. Let's pray. Loving Father, I pray for those that may be here today who have yet to trust Christ. We've just seen today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to make the decision to trust Christ as my personal Savior. For those that are here who have yet to do that, yet to enter in, yet to reach out by faith and accept the gift of eternal life. May they right there, where they're at, right now, cry out to you. You've said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord, then you promised, will be saved. Father, your people are before you. Some may be wondering, is it really worth it to pursue you, to pursue Christ, to live for him? Perhaps there are those, and I believe, if they've served Christ long, they'll carry some wounds. There's some hurt that comes with that. People at times say things. People at times do things that hurt, that knock us off our feet for a bit. But I pray that we will never let all these difficulties sway us from looking to you, from living for you. And Father, may we count it joy. May we count it a great joy to be an instrument in the Master's hand. Use us powerfully, and may we steadfastly, Father, that's my prayer, endure all things because of the great name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. You may be dismissed. Let me get to the back.